Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning and welcome to our service. If you would turn in your Mennonite hymnal to number 534. Number 534. Doug Musselman was on the schedule as song leader today, and he came to teach Sunday school and then said that Jake had a bad ear infection and they were going to go to the urgent care. So we can be thinking about Jake, praying for his recovery. 534, great is thy faithfulness. As one year ends and a new one begins this week, this is something that we can be very sure of.
Thank you. With it being the new year, a lot of people tend to make resolutions or have ideas of what they want to change the next year. But a lot of them fail because they don't act on them. And our faith is the same way. It says in James 2, verses 17 and 18, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But some will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.'" Without the action, our faith is pretty worthless. The action is what validates our faith. So that's something I'll try and challenge you with. It's something I'm trying to work on myself, is to act upon our faith and then not just say you believe something. Will the ushers please come forward? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, for everyone that come here today, God. And I pray that you will speak to us today, God, that we will just be called to action by the words that we hear, God, and that we will not be afraid to show our faith, God, and to act on what we say we believe, God. I pray that you just bless this offering in the hands that gave it. Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your great and mighty name. Thank you for the privilege it is to worship you together. Thank you for this time of year, and we remember your words promising your coming son that he would be born and they were to give him the name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to save us from our sins. Thank you for this end of year where we kind of sometimes think and look back over the past year and perhaps do a little evaluating. I pray, God, today as we consider the new year and consider our future, that we would listen and respond to your word. God, I recognize this morning as in some of what your scripture says that how important it is our words and what we say and when we say it and how we say it. And then not only what words are said to us, but how we respond to those. I pray that you would guide each one here today. You would guide my words, but guide each heart, and that we would receive from you what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. sometimes in life we need a pat on the back, and sometimes we need a kick in the pants. Today's scripture kind of has some of both. In Proverbs, we're told that a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. When someone says something to you at just the right time, it's just what you needed, that's valuable. Words at the right time, knowing what to say and when to say it, reminds me of a guy who was someone he knew had passed away, and he had to go to a funeral, and he was talking to a coworker. He said, I really don't like going to funerals. You know, you have to kind of go through the line, and I never know what to say. And his coworker said, well, just say, you know, I'm sorry for your loss, and then move on. And so he went to the funeral, and he's going through the line, and he said, I'm sorry for your loss, move on. Words spoken at the right time, at the right place, in the right way, they're important. As important as the speaker is saying the words, those words won't do anything if the person who hears those words is listening and in a place to actually do something about it. That they're listening, that they're sometimes, I've heard used the word in relation to our relationship with God, that we're in the right posture towards God. That, you know, you think of people, you can tell by someone's body language, right? Whether they're listening to you or not. You know, if they're turned away or eyes are focused on something else. And we sometimes have a body language towards God, right? We might hear what He says, but really we aren't really intending to do anything about it, or we're not really listening. So a verse like Psalm 139, 23 and 24 is really important, where the writer says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If we're honestly able to say that, God, see if there's any offensive way in me, because probably there is. That's a posture that we want to have, that we're willing to receive God's feedback and do something about it. If you think back to your childhood or even your life now, you can probably think of people in your life who were an encourager to you. Someone who said, you know, you can do it. You're good at this. Or, you know, you're going through a difficult time, but you can make it. You know, try again. Someone who had an encouraging demeanor and, you know, had things to build you up, said things to build you up. That's one kind of feedback we can get. Someone from the Bible who was like that was Moses to Joshua. You know, Joshua was going to be the new leader, and he says to him as they're going in, says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous. He was encouraging him. You know, he could have said, you know, Joshua, you've got some big shoes to fill. You're never going to be as good as me. You know, he didn't say any of that. He said, you can do it, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Or perhaps the negative of that encouraging bent. Maybe you knew someone in your life or in your growing up that you know, you probably, they let you get away with more than what you should. They were always saying, oh, you know, that's okay, or they left you off the hook. Maybe they were soft with you when you really needed to be called out for doing something that you shouldn't have done. Sometimes grandparents are like this. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Eli, with his sons, was kind of like this. Scripture tells us, for I told him that, speaking about Eli, that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. That was the negative, that was the over-encouragement, not rebuking someone when they needed a rebuke, not giving them the kick in the pants when they needed that. You've probably known someone who maybe challenged you in your life. They pushed you. They weren't afraid to tell you when they thought you weren't doing what you should or what you could. This was Nathan to David. You know, David was the king. He had sinned with Bathsheba, and then he had Uriah killed in battle. He was the king. No one was really saying anything about it. But God called Nathan to, and he did it. He was being honest with him. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? He told that story about the guy with his lamb, and he said, you're the man, David. You're the one who did this evil. And David's response was right. He received that feedback and asked for forgiveness. Or perhaps the negative example of this challenge or this pushing, maybe there's been someone in your life who's been overly critical and never seemed to have anything positive to say to you. It's a little bit like the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee's perspective of the tax collector, he stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector. He didn't have anything good to say about him, but really before God, the tax collector was the one who was more right with God that day. There are times we need encouragement, and there are times we need warning. And sometimes we don't get what we think we need. And we tend to focus on the one speaking to us and not so much our part. It made me think a little bit about the Olympics are coming up, and you hear sometimes with some Olympic sports how, well, they switched coaches because maybe it wasn't a good mix or whatever. They weren't hearing what they felt. Maybe that coach was too hard on them and they needed someone to pat them on the back a little more. Or maybe the reverse. You know, I'm sure that's appropriate at times to be doing that. But maybe sometimes that's a cop-out, and we just aren't listening to the feedback that we're given. Here's the thing. God knows what we need. He knows when we need a pat on the back, and He knows when we need a kick in the pants. Our job is to seek God's feedback and respond appropriately. God knows what you need, but it's up to us to respond to it. I'd invite you to turn to James chapters 1 and 2. So James is writing here in verse 1, it says, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. And he begins by talking about trials and temptations. These were believers who were experiencing difficulties. And he starts off with encouragement. He has some things to say to kind of kick them in the pants, but he begins with encouragement, recognizing that they are experiencing challenges. They're scattered. They're enduring hardship. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. I'd like to focus on this, the encouragement part of this. You're going to experience trials. But if you allow God to, He can actually strengthen you through those times. Your difficulties can strengthen you. And when you don't know what to do, ask God and trust that He'll show you the way. When you don't know what to do, ask God and trust Him and He'll show you the way. When you cut a tree, you can see the growth rings of a tree. And Doug Musselman could probably speak to this a lot better than me, but as I understand it, the light part of a growth ring is the new growing season, when the growing happens quickly and probably springtime. And the darker part is maybe the winter time when growth slows. It's not as thick, or it's not as wide looking at the growth ring. But if you've ever cut through wood or done something with wood and grain, you recognize what part is harder, the light part or the dark part? The dark part. The dark part is the stronger part of the wood. And that's the time when the tree has experienced winter or the difficult time. That's part of its strength. I found an article about wind that was kind of interesting in relation to trees. It starts off, this article is The Role of Wind in a Tree's Life. It says, remember the biosphere too? I'm not sure what that's about. Maybe some of you know. But in short, it's a miniature version of our planet, now owned by the University of Arizona. Constructed by scientists to study how the planet's living systems actually work. Learnings from this tiny planet enabled scientists to innovate and come up with new ideas related to growth of plants, etc. Or that is what they thought when they planned to make this biosphere. The major discovery from it was something they had never expected. The most interesting thing they had learned was the importance of wind in a plant's life. Who'd have thought? In the biosphere too, they had trees growing faster than they would grow without wind. Also, they found that trees wouldn't completely mature because they used to collapse, or they would collapse. Later, it was found that it was caused by the lack of wind in the biosphere. As it turns out, wind plays a major role in trees, in the life of a tree. The presence of wind makes the tree stronger, and it's thus able to mature and not fall down due to its own weight. When you experience difficulties and trials, if you allow God to, He will make you and I stronger. James 1:9-12 talks about wealth, position, prominence. And he's basically saying that these things are temporary, and that God can use any person in any position, high or low, rich or poor, whatever place you are in life. It's temporary anyway, and wherever you are in life, keep living for God, regardless of your position, and it will be worth it. In 13-18, he starts moving from the encouragement into warnings. Verse 16, don't be deceived. And that word deceived is used many times in this scripture. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. The verses right before that talk about how temptation and evil doesn't come from God. It comes from our own evil desires. But that God is the source of good in our lives. And the best of this good is when He gives us new life. Jesus can and will defeat the evil in our hearts and in our minds if we yield our lives to Him. So you and I are the source of evil and temptation in our lives. It comes from our own evil hearts. And on our own, we're not going to rid ourselves of that. But Jesus is the source of good. And if we yield our lives to Him, He's going to be able to clean us out, clean us of that wrong stuff, if we are willing to yield ourselves to Him. 19 and 20 says, listen, be slow to speak, be slow to anger, and that human anger doesn't lead to God's righteousness. Are you an angry person? If you're quick to get angry, this is a warning to us. It's a warning to us that our actions are probably not godly. Listen, be slow to speak, be slow to anger. Verses 27 and 26, if anyone considers himself righteous and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Clean up your act. Don't just listen to the Bible and Bible teaching. Do what the Bible says. Use it to make decisions in your life on how you live, how you talk, how you work, how you date, what you do with your money, what you do in your free time. If you or I come to church or youth group or Bible study, all of which are very good things, and of course we encourage one another to do those things. But if we go to those things, we listen, and we don't try to do something about what we're hearing or reading or learning, it's a warning to us. You're deceiving yourselves. You're lying to yourself. You're living a lie if you just go to that stuff and don't do anything about it. James 2, 1-13 talks about favoritism. I'd like to read 5-9 and then 12 and 13. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised those who love Him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of Him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Verse 12, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's a good word to be reminded of as James is working through this warning stuff. He's moved from encouragement to warnings to the kick in the pants part, but yet he still reminds us that God is a God of mercy, and that if you want to be shown mercy, you ought to be merciful to others as well. Show love to all people. Don't show favoritism. Be merciful. Verse 14 of chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. As the Scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. What we believe will show up in what we do. Faith equals deeds. If you aren't doing it, you don't believe it. So, am I reading the Bible? If not, I must not really believe that it's important, or that I should. Am I praying? If not, I must not believe that it has any power, or it's worthwhile, or it's more important than some other activity I'm doing. Am I sharing my faith? If not, do I believe it's important? Am I giving generously? If not, my actions say, I don't believe it. Am I treating other people with kindness and love? Am I honoring authority in my life? If I'm not, My actions say I don't believe it. Am I resisting worldliness in a sin-filled culture? If not, my actions say I believe it's okay. Am I living a pure life in my thoughts? If not, my actions show what I really believe. What do I do because of my faith? How do I live differently from someone who doesn't have faith in Jesus? Can someone look at me and say anything, something I do is different than someone who doesn't believe in Jesus? If not, my actions aren't matching what I say I believe. May you and I receive what God wants us to receive this morning. Be encouraged. God can strengthen us through trials, like a tree in the winter or growing stronger from the wind. And may we also be warned. If we aren't doing it, we don't believe it. Sometimes we need a pat on the back. Sometimes we need a kick in the pants. God knows what you and I need. Our job is to seek His feedback. To seek His feedback and do something about it. Lord, thank You so much for Your love for us, Your incredible mercy. You know that we all fall short, but You love us so much that when we're going down the wrong path, You won't just let us go. You want to try to turn us back. You speak to us through Your Word, through other people. You give us those words that we need. You know exactly what we need, Lord, whether it's encouragement or warning. But You won't force us to change our lives. It's up to us to choose. And I pray, God, this morning as each of us receive Your Word and as we go through life, that we would receive Your encouragement when we need it, Your warning when we need it, Your feedback as only You can give it, and that we would respond to it, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to turn to the Mennonite hymnal number 327. 327. Thank you.
for that appropriate song. This is our opportunity to share things with one another. What would you like to share with the group?
This is Ruthie. On Thursday evening, my three-year-old nephew, he tripped and fell and sat down in a roaster full of hot turkey broth. And he's at Lehigh Valley Burn Center now because EFRTA said they couldn't handle the type of burn. So it's second-degree burns on 20% of his body, and he has some third-degree areas. So he said he's in a lot of pain still yet. He's on morphine and some other, I'm not sure what all. And he's going tomorrow for surgery for skin grafting and then to cover up some infected areas. We're not exactly sure what all that will be. But yeah, Jalen Zerman is his name. Jalen. Yeah. He's 3 years old, so he's not understanding why he can't be at home and stuff. So just keep their family in their prayers.
This is Darla. 2 weeks ago, my uncle Eugene was diagnosed with stage 4 bone, liver, and prostate cancer. He has lived and took care of my grandma, who is 90, so it's very hard on her as well. So if we could remember to pray for my grandma's name is Alma, and also for Eugene as he goes through this time.
This is Kelly. This is just an announcement that it is in the bulletin that next Sunday there will be a soup, sandwich, and salad meal provided in place of the regular fellowship meal. This is a fundraiser for a missions trip that our daughter Bethany plans to go on the end of February. She would be going to Hungary.
Yeah, this is Eric Fisher letting people know that Dad's home from the hospital. I want to thank Phil for me and him going to pick Dad up, and he's still not up to power yet, but he's coming along okay.
This is Don. I just wanted to give you an update on my dad. He was admitted with the flu. He now has pneumonia on top of the flu. So they increase his oxygen, and we're waiting for the antibiotics to kick in. So keep him in your prayers this week. And my mom, she's getting tired.
Okay, I'll invite you to stand for prayer and closing. God, we just come before you today. We're so grateful and thankful for your love for us. I thank you that we can come to you anytime, any place. Ask for direction, ask for help, ask for wisdom as we read about today. Lord, I pray for each of us, the things that we are experiencing in our lives, that we would turn to you and seek your direction, seek your feedback, seek your wisdom, seek your help. We ask for your help in reference to the things that were shared today. We pray for Ruthie's nephew with this burn. We pray, God, that you would help them through this. Pray for Jalen, that the surgeries would go well. Bless those who are caring for him. We pray for Darla's uncle and the cancer. We pray, God, according to your will, but we ask for healing in his life and for blessing. We pray, as this is also difficult, for her grandmother. We pray for comfort and reassurance for her during this difficult time. We ask that you bless Bethany's mission trip to Hungary coming up, and just ask that you would go before her and use that as a special time in her life and in the lives of those that she'll work with. Thank you that Kelso is home from the hospital, and we ask that you would continue to bless his recovery. And for Donna's father, we pray for Arlen and Justine. We pray that you would heal him of his pneumonia, and that you would give encouragement to Justine as she's growing weary as well. Just through this difficult experience, God, help them to experience, like your word said, strengthening even through trials. And as we go, God, we thank you for the encouragement you give us, for how you do call us out when we need that as well. I pray that you would help us to seek your feedback and to do something about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.